Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear God in heaven, Lord, we do pray in Jesus' name that you'd forgive us, dear God, and hear our prayer this evening. Lord, I do pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your word, dear God. Thank you so much for the incredible opportunity to speak on your behalf. And dear God, I pray that it would please you and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. For just a few minutes, I'd like to speak about three children. I'd like to talk about three children. I believe that all three are here this evening. In Psalm 127 here, we see that children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a blessing. The Bible says that the man who has his quiver full of them will be blessed. And we all, of course, fit into the category of being someone's child. We all have someone at one time or another who was our mother or father. I don't think that anyone would not fit in that category this evening. Except maybe Brother Denny. Just kidding. But first of all, I'd like to talk about these three children. The child by physical birth. And of course, we remember our mothers today, a special day. I certainly hope and pray that you had an opportunity to, if your mother's still with us, to thank her and to be a blessing to her. What an amazing gift from God children are. An amazing gift. I remember so well, Ron, sitting down here, our oldest, I was supposed to go through the whole process with Pam as far as the baby was being born there in the hospital. That was the plan. We went through all the classes, and we got time for the delivery, and the doctor, it was several hours, a long, slow delivery, and she went through all the stages of that, mad, happy, and get it over with. And then the doctor came in and said, you've got to leave. And I didn't understand why. The doctor said, there's a problem. First child, and you can only imagine. And so I had to leave. They took Pam to a different area of the hospital, and he was having problems. The cord was not long enough. They had to take him out real quick. But that was Ron. I remember the incredible feelings that went along with that and the blessing. And then Katie was born. And within a couple of weeks, she had viral meningitis. And God saw us through that, the prayers and the fear and then the blessing of everything being okay. And then there was Kelly being born outside of Fort Hood, Texas, while we were in the Army, the original Army brat. And nothing wrong with her. She just came out. Everything was fine. But then the incredible, wonderful opportunity after these years of Pastor calling us one day down there in Michigan and asking us if we'd come and to pray about whether or not this would be the Lord's will for our lives. And for 3 years, your children, many of you, either your children or your grandchildren, Pam and I have had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with them, precious time. I think in the elementary, and I don't remember all of their names, but I remember several of them. Austin, I know Austin has been such a blessing to Pam, and how she melted her heart many times, and such a wonderful boy, and the others, Tabitha and Jesse and Jonathan and Caitlin, Lynette and Taylor, and the blessing of all of these kids, they are. Amen. Taylor won the Servant Award just the other day for the elementary. And then in the high school, also your children. I remember for the past 3 years, all the opportunities that I had to run PE with the guys. And the bow hunting that we did. And the fishing. And the camping. And some classwork. And then the young ladies teasing and observing these young ladies as they've moved quickly towards young adulthood. and to be able to physically be present every day for the completion of our three kids' high school years. What an incredible blessing. Been so blessed. These are our children. Pam and I's children and your children. What a gift. What a blessing. God help the man or woman that hurts a child. May God help. And there are many like that. Please turn over to Luke chapter 17, just very quickly. Luke chapter 17. I tell you what, that I don't know about you, but that gets me fired up very quickly when you hear about someone that hurts a child. It's a wicked sickness. It's a wicked sin. It's despicable. But let's look at Luke chapter 17 here, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Sounds like a good idea to me. It would save a lot of tax dollars, and it would be a good deterrent. Start putting a millstone around some of these guys' necks and tossing them into the sea. I know we can't do that. I know realistically that's not the way it goes. But boy, I tell you, it's wicked. It's something that seems to be, I hope not, but it seems to be growing in our country today. That children are being hurt. God is still the answer. True salvation is still the cure. Amen. In the meantime, a powerful penalty should be instituted for every pervert that decides to hurt a child. I believe that with all my heart. But then there's another side to that. Parents, adults who are not parents, or even older teenagers. This scripture is not just referring to children. It's referring to people that need our protection. It could be people that are less fortunate than us, perhaps mentally, perhaps they're very poor. They're people that are looked upon for whatever reason as being at the lower class or whatever, which is ungodly in itself. But people that need our protection, and it's in our own church family here. These children that were just up here singing a few minutes ago, the responsibility that we have to not be a stumbling block to them.
Yes, you're right.
That someone a little bit older would be an influence to one of these young people to take their first drink of beer. That's a wicked thing. Or to hear a dirty joke. Or to smoke a cigarette, or to be involved in anything that would take them away from God and the influence of God. That is a stumbling block. That's an offense to these children. And that's what this is talking about here. God help you if you're in that category this evening, where you have been a stumbling block to children. Maybe there are teenagers right now who would be in church today if somebody would not have been a stumbling block or a bad influence on them. But then the second child I'd like to talk about in Luke chapter 18, if you would, just very quickly, if we go to Luke chapter 18, just a page over there, verses 15 through 17. "And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Little babies are so precious. I love them. I scare them half the time, but I love them. You know, it's very frustrating sometimes. But just, I even like the way they smell. And just to be able to touch their hair, you know. And they're precious. But here we're talking about some children were brought to Jesus, and the disciples said, no, or whatever, he's too busy. Get him away. Jesus he rebuked them. He said, bring him here. I love the little children. And unless you've come to me as a child, then you're not a part of my family. You're not saved. You're not born again unless you've come as a child and received me with the same childlike faith that these children love me. And so the second child is the child of God. First of all, the physical child, which we all fit in that category. But then secondly, the child of God. We have a never-dying soul that becomes a new creature in Christ, just like a child. A new Christian is a baby Christian and should be loved as such. First, I'll just read this to you. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The baby makes a mistake. The baby gets mad and fusses. We don't say, oh, all right, you've chosen your path. Make your way. Well, the same thing. A new Christian comes into the church, and they don't walk exactly the right way or talk exactly the right way. And we say, well, you know what? They've chosen their path. Good luck. They're babes in Christ. And I'm preaching to myself just as much as anybody else. They're babes in Christ, and they need to be loved and nurtured, just as we would love and nurture these babes. Say, that's wrong. No. And give them love. No. Give them love. It's the same thing with baby Christians. Love, godly love. And then because we were born physically with a lost soul under God's protection by innocence. And then we become a child of God. In 1 Peter, I just read it to you, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born again by cleansing and regeneration of the soul. Born into a wonderful family with brothers and sisters, role models, instigators, like Brother Denny, new friends, new family activities, and a new life in Christ. I know he's going to get mad at me here in a minute. But this is a family. This is our family. I get so excited about that. For one thing, the Lord called us here. I believe that with all my heart. But we moved out here from the big city, away from all our family, and this really did become you became our family. And I believe that's the way it's designed to be. We're to be family. And there's so many of you that have been so kind to us. You've shown us love. And I'll never forget it. Never forget it. And this is our family. And that's what being a child of God, that's what it's all about. And that's a big part, an important part of it. And then the third child is the child of Satan, the child of the devil. I desire to be used by God to stand like the Apostle Paul, to shine the powerful light of God's word on the false prophets of our day. Acts chapter 6, chapter 13, if you would, please. Acts chapter 13. Let's just read this very quickly. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. He looked him square in the eyes, and he said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? There are children of God, and then there are children of Satan. I believe also, there's no way to describe how heartbreaking it is tonight. But I believe that in a crowd this size, that there are some here, maybe just one, but there possibly some who are not a part of the family of God. You are indeed a child of Satan. Without Christ in your heart, without being a child of God. My father used to say, there's only two groups, Ron. He'd say there's the haves and there's the have-nots, and we're not talking about money. There's those that have Jesus, and there's those that have not. It's either Jesus living in your heart, Jesus, that's your father, or Lucifer that lives in your heart as a child of the devil. You're hopelessly lost, bound for an eternity, separated from God, with a never-dying soul in an ever-burning hell. You need a new father. And then last of all, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus wants to kick the old resident out and move in eternally into your heart. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure, 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, I would beg and I would plead with you, don't leave this place tonight until you get that settled. The first child that we talked about is an incredible heritage. Oh my goodness, children, they're so wonderful. Babies, they're so beautiful. They're a heritage, they're a gift from God. The second child is a baby that's born into the family of God. The third child suffers a never-ending curse. Love the first child. Love the first child. Be the second child. And reach out to the third child. God bless you.